Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. See, there's always going to be haters. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't be a hater. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus healed. Imagine that. On the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite. Pretty awesome. Doeth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. All his adversaries were ashamed. Imagine he had adversaries in the synagogue. All the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I want to talk to you on this thought this morning. Bent out of shape. Bent out of shape. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you pray? Would you lift your hands? Would you pray for Pastor this morning? Would you pray for us to be hearers and doers of the word? Would you do that? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, we glorify you. God, we magnify you, God. Because you're good, because you're great, because you're mighty. Because you're holy, God, you do great things. You do wonderful things. You're going to do something mighty this morning. You're going to do something holy this morning. You're going to bless. You're going to heal. You're going to deliver, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Bent out of shape. This is a remarkable story in the Bible. This is a wonderful testimony. If you've not read this story, it's an awesome miracle that the Lord has done. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 down to about 17. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and this lady was bent out of shape. She was she had a physical infirmity. She had this infirmity for some time, and I don't know how many of you have ever been bent out of shape. Ever had any? Maybe some of you are bent out of shape this morning, but she was physically, she was bent out of shape. But it was a spiritual condition that caused her to have a physical bending out of shape. And if you've ever made that statement to somebody, don't get all bent out of shape. Perhaps you've had somebody tell you that. You know, maybe somebody told you that this weekend. Don't get all bent out of shape. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and Luke writes and tells us about a lady who encountered Jesus. This lady was dealing with this infirmity for 18 years. In fact, when you break down the word, infirmity in the Greek, it means she had feebleness in body and mind. By implication, there was frailty, disease, sickness, or weakness. It's used in this connotation at least 24 times in the King James Version. And we understand that there's infirmities that affect us. But she had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years that came upon her because of Satan. Satan had her bound up. When you're bound up, you're tied up. In fact, it means that you're shackled or you're chained up. That this was something that had plagued her for a long time. She was bowed together. It means that she was suffering from a severe state of stooping. She walked like this. This was her state. The spirit of Satan, the devil had caused this to happen to her. And so she was like this for 18 years. This was something that had come upon her. And Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. You see, she could not straighten herself up. See, a lot of times we can't straighten ourselves up.
Right.
And we get all bent out of shape about it. The scripture is very clear. It says that she can no wise lift up herself. You see, we're pretty good. The human mind is pretty marvelous. The human ingenuity and the technology and the things that people can do but we are limited, but we serve a God that is not limited. We have situations and encounters and feelings and emotions, and we have ideas and strategies and things that, and dreams and ambitions, but a lot of times we get bent out of shape spiritually and emotionally and physically. This lady had a condition and she was bowed together. In fact, her bent overness and in her manner that she could not straighten herself up. There was nothing she can do to straighten and fix her situation. Can anybody testify that there's just some things that you've tried to do over and over and over again, but nobody can fix the problem, the sickness, the illness, the financial adversity, the family problem, the stress, the anxiety, the hidden secrets and the talents that you've got buried in the ground that you get bent out of shape over in life and spiritually, but only Jesus can fix and can deliver and to help you get over being bound. See, for 18 years, she dealt with this spirit of infirmity. It became her lot in life. The infirmity was something that she had to deal with over and over again. Notice, this lady wasn't given a name. And over the last 2 or 3 months, we've talked about folks that in the scripture that the Lord did things for. They didn't have a name because I believe it's because we could just put our name in this situation and we have things that we can't straighten out. We've got things that have got us bent out of shape emotionally, physically, spiritually. And the Lord is saying, you know what? You just input your name here. This maybe could be the man from Santa Maria. It could be the man sitting at Revival Tavern. It could be a lady or a child or a young person. But this is just something that is so beautiful about the Word of God is that there's no respecter of persons. There's nothing that God can't do for you that He won't do for somebody else because He set a precedence that He's able. Now, we can assume that Jesus was in Galilee or Jerusalem teaching, but really it doesn't matter where He was teaching. We know that He was in the synagogue. He was in the church house and He was teaching. This lady was bent over in a crippling position. Her infirmity had her hunched over. The likelihood of being like that for 18 years was probably something that she had just accepted would be forever. Notice what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 38, verse 4 through 11. The scripture says, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my neighbor's foolishness. Oh, because of my foolishness, I'm troubled. I am bowed down greatly." Notice what David says. It's personal. "I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a lonesome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble. I'm sore, broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee." Notice this. "My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it's also gone from me. I have no strength, my heart is weak, and I don't even have any light in my eyes." Notice this. Notice, "My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar." My family and friends just kind of keeping me at a arm's distance. But notice what the psalmist says in verse 14. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, "I choose to hear nothing, and I make no reply, for I am waiting for You, O Lord. You must answer for me, O Lord, my God." Anybody know what I mean, what David is saying? Is that I'm bound over with stuff. My friends and family even keep me away. I have no energy. I have no physical strength. It's like the life has been sucked out of me. And David says, "But I choose to say nothing and I make no reply, for I'm waiting on You, O Lord. You must answer for me, O Lord, my God. David didn't get all bent out of shape about what was going on, even though he was bent out of shape and he had some things happening. He couldn't strengthen himself up. He couldn't lift himself up. And we read in other parts of the scripture where in the Bible where he says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what David is doing here. But there's just some things that only God can do. There's just some things that only God can fix and deliver and bless and put back together. There's just some answers that God has to give answers to because we're limited, but we serve a God who is not.
Right.
No, you've had so much trouble and contention, sin and drama in your life, in your home, in your job, in your family. You're about ready to have a yard sale and say, free, come and get it. You're willing just to dump it off at somebody's house, all the sin and drama and chaos and trouble and contentions and surprises that come your way. The living of paycheck to paycheck has happened so long that you've accepted the fact that that's just the way it will always be. You hate your job, and everybody knows you hate your job. You're like the kid when someone asks, what is the best part of your day? And the kid says, recess. You're like, when I get to leave and I get to go home is the best part of my day. My lunch hour is the best part of my day. You've been sick and filled with physical pain your entire life. You've about given up on your healing for yourself. Your relationships are unstable. The kids have been backslidden and away from the Lord and from church for so long that you've just sort of thrown your hands in the air and have come to the conclusion that they'll never come back to church. Let's just be real here. 18 years is a long time. I mean, you could have been born and gone to kindergarten all through high school. It's a lot of stuff, a lot of territory, a lot of memories and experiences. We can only imagine the physical pain that this lady endured. We can only imagine the looks she received, the comments she heard, and the teasing she may have endured. Think about it. You see, when you're used to dealing with something for 18 years, it just becomes your norm. It becomes your normality. It's just the way of life. You just grow accustomed to it. You adapt to it. You don't think about it anymore. You just pop those pills. You just take those pills. You just deal with the boss. You just deal with the nagging spouse. You just stay away. You just don't say things. You got family and loved ones that live in the same town as you, and you can't even talk to them. Your relationships are strained internally. But we have adapted to living that way. We even get bent out of shape when we hear that they're coming over. Or they'll be at the event. I mean, even the mention of their name kind of gets your blood to boil. You choose not to worship. You come to the house of God at times. And you and your wife were bickering on the way to the house of worship. And you get here and you're bent out of shape about what happened in the car, because that's what the devil would want you to do. He doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't care if you believe in God. In fact, the scripture tells us that the devil believes in the Lord, and he knows that there's one God, but he doesn't want you to have relationship. He doesn't want you to worship. He doesn't want you to surrender. He doesn't care if you go to church on Sunday, as long as you don't live for Him, live for the Lord on Monday and Tuesday. The presence of the Lord is evident, and you just kind of grown accustomed to living, being bound by the things in your life. You're bent out of shape mentally and emotionally and spiritually. The cares of life, the stress of your circumstances has got you all out of sorts. You've been trying for months and years to try to straighten yourself out, but this isn't something that you can do. This isn't something that man can do. There's just some things that God has to do. There's just some things that God needs to do. You've even made statements that once I get over this depression, once this job ends, once I get out of this relationship, once I pay the bills off, once the divorce is final, once the kids are grown up, then I'll straighten things out. If pastor would only deal with some things, all I need is a good relationship. All I need is a good man. All I need is a good job. All I need is an opportunity. All I need is a chance. Let me tell you something. I wonder how many times this lady may have said the same thing. But she did her due diligence, and she made her way down to the place of worship. We would assume that this is something that she had did often, because she just went to the synagogue, and we know that Jesus this was not the first time he'd go and teach the scriptures or read the scriptures and exhort. In fact, we've got other times where Jesus would. And you notice something. This lady would walk like this. She would be hunched over. And so she was used to seeing and looking at things in it from a different perspective. She was used to looking at stuff from the corner of her eye. Limited visibility. Think about that. She couldn't lift up her head and look up. When you're walking like this, it's limited. You have a better, more comfort looking backwards than you do looking frontwards. She couldn't see what was up ahead of her. She had limited visibility. It was a lot easier for her just to look out of the corner of her eye. She couldn't use the things that God had given her, and she was bound for 18 years. And she gets to the house of God, and Jesus is there, and he sees her. See, the congregants see her coming in, before. They saw her coming in before, and maybe, just maybe, they may have just said, oh, that's just brother, or that's just sister so-and-so. She's just how she is. Maybe they had pity. Maybe they felt sorry for her. But Jesus sees her and he calls her. Yeah. He calls her out. And she doesn't say, like, who, me? Oh, you're certainly not calling me. You know, a lot of times when you're in the church and somebody says, like, hey, and you're kind of like, you're like the only one in the cheap seats. And you're like, kind of like, no, you, I want you, come over here. Jesus summons her. He calls her. She's there at her place of worship, all bent out of shape, but she doesn't let that bother her. It didn't matter her. It didn't stop her from going to her place of worship and lifting her hands, all bent out of shape. See, she couldn't straighten herself out. But notice, and there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could no wise lift up herself. See, the problem some of us have is you're trying to do it all on your own. You're limited. In fact, some of us have reached our capacity mentally and emotionally and spiritually because we're not putting anything else in. We've stopped learning. We've stopped reading. We've stopped giving. We've stopped interacting. We've stopped praying. We've stopped worshiping. We've stopped allowing the Lord. We've stopped coming to church faithfully. And we wonder why we're bent out of shape. We wonder why we can't lift ourselves up out of the situation. Can I tell you? Because a lot of times we've bound the hands of God and we've bound ourselves with things when he says, hey, you know what? There's something I want to do for you, but you got to heed the call when I call you.
Yeah.
You see, her situation was painful. It was humiliating. It was shameful. She couldn't conceal her sin. Think about, there's a lot of things we hide. Yeah. We're real good about that. Some of us hide some of the scars and emotions, and we hide some of the physical blemishes of our life because we can wear short, long sleeves. We can, you can wear a beanie. You got scars and you got wounds from when you were a kid and you fell off a bike. And so you're able to cover those things up. Some of you have had surgeries and you've got marks. You've got stretch marks. You've got, staple marks. And guess what? You can hide those things. This lady couldn't hide anything. It was visible for everyone to see for 18 years. It's a long time. Think about what you've accomplished in 18 years. Think about if the Lord tarries what we can accomplish in 18 years. She could not lift herself up. Has anybody ever felt that way? You can't lift yourself up. Everything you've tried to do, but you couldn't lift yourself up. The extra cup of coffee didn't help. The phone call from the friend didn't help. Maybe you needed some sunshine. You drive over to Pismo and that didn't help. The beach didn't help. The nap didn't help. The lady went to the place of worship. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said unto her, woman! No different than anybody here this morning coming to church. Jesus sees you.
Yeah.
And he's calling you. In fact, he knew that you would be here this morning and he knew that I would be preaching this and he knew that you needed to hear this. We can't be looking around and say, I wonder whose pastor's preaching to you. I'm preaching to everybody, even myself, even to those that will hear this sermon on the webcast, that will hear it years from now if the Lord tarry, because this is something that we got to get a hold of, that there is nothing that God can't do for anybody. If you're bound, he's able to loose you. But you got to heed the call. to come to him. You see, this lady didn't say anything when Jesus called. She just kind of responded. You know, a lot of times, and I kind of went down that road here a few minutes ago, but I'm gonna kind of break it down a little bit more. You know, how about maybe you're hungry? You get invited to a birthday party. I mean, it's been on the calendar. You RSVP'd. You there's food there. There's barbecue, hamburgers, Sister Moni. There's chips and salad and lemonade, Mr. Coronado. And you haven't had a good meal all day. Been working in the yard. Come home and the wife says, we got to go to this birthday party. You show up, you act like you don't know how to eat. All scared, all shy. Sipping on that cup of lemonade all day long. It's watered down. It's full of ice. Are you going to eat? Oh, I'll get some chips in a minute. Hey, go in there and get a plate, protein style, pastor style, whatever style. Put some ketchup and some relish and put that burger on the plate and eat it. Don't be scared. There's food there to eat. And a lot of times we come into church the same way, kind of scared. Hey, the presence of the Lord is here, baby. Whatever you need, God is able to meet your need. It's like a buffet. If you need healing, He can heal. If you need deliverance, He can deliver. If you need to pray through, you need the Holy Ghost, you need to be baptized, you're all bent out of shape, He's able to fix it for you. He writes one prescription, and it's best for everybody. It's free. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I feel faith in here. You've been trying to straighten yourself out, your circumstance, your family, your job, your financial issue, all by yourself. And the presence of the Lord is saying here, you know what? Just surrender to me. It's got you bowed over. You've got bowed over. You can't even look up. You're looking at everything from a limited point of view. And I see everything. I see what I'm about to do to you. I see the haters. And guess what? Thou preparest a table with... in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over in the presence of my enemy. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Quit sipping on that lemonade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get something to eat. Especially when it's free.
Yeah.
And they invited you. You're their guest. Come on, somebody. You're not a guest here tonight. This morning. You're not a guest. Nobody here is a guest. You're a child of God. He is your Father. Your heavenly Father. Quit walking around and acting like you're an orphan. You don't have a father or a mother. He don't know your name. Not only does He know your name, He knows every hair on your head. He is your Father. Therefore, we cry out to Him, Abba, Father. My Lord. He's our Father. Sitting there at the barbecue, knowing that you're going to hit the drive-thru on the way home. Just break away from the comfort zone. Go get what you want and eat it. Same thing here. Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. Jesus is here, ready to meet your need. But you got to come to Him when He calls you.
Yeah.
See, the altar call is the responding from what the word of the Lord puts out.
Yeah.
We got to respond. You see, the critical point after the preaching is when the altar call is made, we put our faith in the action.
Right.
We respond to the call. We heed to the conviction. We agree with the Spirit in doing what the Spirit is leading us to do. That's why some folks, they can't wait till the altar call. As soon as they sense that the pastor's about to call the musicians, and they just start already. They just start repenting. They just start asking God to do what He's gonna do. And because they sense the Spirit is moving. The Spirit is drawing. The Spirit is calling. And that's what a lot of preaching is. It's pushing and it's pulling. And I'm trying to pull folks out of the pit. That's what this is called, a pulpit, because I pull folks from the pit. You grab onto the other end of the rope, baby, I'll pull you. I'll pull you as all I got to pull. We've allowed the comfort zone of what we know to prevent us from obtaining what we need based on the limitations of the unknown. There are some things we know that we don't know. There are some things that you're not going to know. It's called life. Notice this. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom what they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You need a preacher in your life. You gotta have a preacher. You gotta have a pastor to be able to pull you and to help you and to guide you. Notice this. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Yeah. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. We got to respond.
Yeah.
When the Spirit calleth thee.
Yeah.
We got to respond. We got to remember that Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For so here's, you want to please God, you have to have faith. Because it's impossible to please God without any faith.
Right.
You don't have to have a lot of faith. You don't have to have a faith thermometer and say, well, I got to get it to a certain level. I got to have the same amount of faith that Pastor has or Brother Zencia that was here a week ago. For God to do something. Hey, it says, well, you want to please God, you have to have faith. And the scripture says, un poquito. As a grain, as a mustard seed, right? That's what it said. You can speak to this. It didn't say you have to have Pastor Panero faith together with Brother Embry's faith, with Bishop Keyes's faith, and then maybe you get a prayer meeting, and then maybe the mountain would move. He said, speak to the mountain, and the mountain will move. Some of us have got to activate that faith that's within us. We can't straighten the situation out, but he can. He will, and he's going to. But we've grown accustomed to looking at our situations from a limited point of view out of the corner of our eye.
Yeah.
See, looking out of the corner of your eye, you can't even use your glasses. No matter how thick your lens is, you can't even look out of the corner of your eye because your glasses weren't made to look out of the corner of their eye. They were made to look forward. A lot of us are living our life trying to look at everything in the rear view mirror. Why are you looking in the rear view mirror? You're moving forward. That's why there's wipers. That's why the mirror in the front is bigger than all the other mirrors because you're moving forward. I'll relax. After 18 years, she comes to the synagogue and Jesus sees her and he calls her. That's a wonderful thing. That after all those years, Jesus sees her and calls her. Notice this. 1 Peter 3 and 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers.
Yeah.
But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. See, in calling this lady, her response is what executed the healing. You see, the next thing Jesus said, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. See, she was tied up. Being bound means you're tied up. You're shackled. You're chained. She was tied up physically because of a spiritual condition. And he laid his hands on her. And a few hours later, she was made straight and glorified God. Immediately. Who said that? Sister Thompson, and you get an A for effort today. And immediately, she was made straight and glorified God. Immediately. Right away. Immediately. Just happened.
Yeah.
Just like that. Kind of like in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, they were gathered together in one place, and suddenly.
Yeah.
So Jesus speaks the word, and he lays hands on her. You see, these are the steps. There was a need. She went to the place of worship with the need. Oh, Jesus was there.
Yeah.
He sees her. He calls her. She responds to the call. He speaks the word, thou art loosed. See, it all goes together. She had to step out of her comfort zone, right? She had to just keep doing what she had always done because she just went to the place of worship and Jesus just did what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking to save the lost, to heal the brokenhearted. That's just what he does. to set captive to those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Mm. And the same thing can happen to somebody this morning.
Yep.
You got a need. This is the place of worship. The presence of the Lord is here. In fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 16 and 11, that will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand is pleasures forevermore. You need to respond to Jesus here in a moment. He's about to meet somebody's need. And you can be loosed. Notice this. And loosing means that there's you're not no longer bound. You're no longer tied up. You're no longer shackled. There's some things that we need to loose in the spirit. There's some things we need to loose emotionally and mentally. There's some things we need to loose in our finances. But guess what? Whatsoever we loose on earth. In fact, Matthew 18 and 18 tells, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Some of us need to get ready to loose some of the heaviness that we've been carrying and be able to bind together in the spirit and get some of that joy, that everlasting joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy. The joy, unspeakable joy. Some of us need to lose some of the fears and the regrets and the doubts and the critical spirit. And some of us need to get the joy back. Some of us need to be loosed in the Holy Ghost. You haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. He can fill you. Some of you, your cup is empty. He'll loose you. You let the Spirit of God fill your life. I say right now, be loosed.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. See, what happened next amazed the entire congregation. He said, woman, you're loosed of thy infirmity. You're loosed of the feebleness or the implication of your body. When Jesus spoke the words, it was immediate. There was no lag time. There was no delay. He didn't say, go get a second opinion. He didn't say, let's wait for the test results. Let's go get an MRI. Let's go see the banker. It was immediate, without hesitation. She straightened up. Some of you this morning are looking for the immediate encounter with God. And can I tell you, you've come to the right place. Some of you have been waiting for the perfect opportunities for things to straighten up. Can I tell you, there's no greater day than today in this moment. This is the place. Now is the time. You're the people. Today is the day of salvation. At the appointed time, the Lord told Abraham, and today can be the appointed time for everyone. But her reaction got stirred some stuff into some people, because she began to immediately glorify God. She straightened up and praised the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you need to straighten up and praise the Lord. Don't be shy. Tell them. Don't be scared of them. She glorified God. She didn't go outside and brag. She didn't say, oh, let me have a mirror. She knew. You no longer need to be bound by depression, addiction. You ought to give God the glory that He deserves. You should have been dead by all the places and things that you injected and all the things you got. You say, oh, I don't want anyone to know. Well, the Lord knows, and He kept you. You ought to be glad for all the things that you injected in your body. Some of you drove so fast in a car, you surprised yourself that the car even went that fast. Some of you put so much dope and pickled your organs with alcohol, you should look like a wax pepper. Yeah. What about the things He's kept us from that you don't even know about? Got diabetes on both sides of your family. Cancer. Everyone in your father's side died from cancer. And guess what? You don't have cancer. You're healthy. You don't got high blood pressure. You're overweight and you're happy. And guess what? The doctor says, I can't explain it. I can. I serve a God. I got royal blood flowing through my veins. Many of us this morning have more now than we ever imagined we would ever have. You've got more now than generations on your mother and father's side put together would ever dream of having. Yeah, think about that. I'm an immigrant. My parents are immigrants. My father's side, immigrant. Came here 6 years old. If my grandfather knew what I had today, my goodness, he wouldn't be able to believe it. He'd probably want me to try to walk on water. So poor, they'd heat a rock from the fire and put it in the bed to stay warm, because they had nothing, zero. Some of us here have two and three cars. Yeah. Some of the elders can testify. didn't have, the reason why God, they went to church for everything, because they didn't have anything. They didn't have, all they had was anointing oil. No insurance, no 24-hour Walgreens, no government assistance, no phone. We just got to get to church.
Yeah.
We can't even get to church. Tell the preacher, ask the pastor if he, when he's got time praying for everyone else, if he could come to our house and just pray. Can he just send a pigeon with a prayer? Let, you know what? But today we get bent out of shape out of all kinds of stuff. And the Lord said, you're not even responding. You're not even thankful. You're not even grateful from what I've given you. We ain't got nothing to eat. 3 and 4 boxes of cereal in the pantry. What do you mean? You ain't got nothing to eat. You're not hungry, baby. And you're worried about the little stuff. He says, you know what? Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You want rest? Come to Jesus.
Yeah.
What about all the things that God has straightened out for you that you couldn't straighten out for yourself, and he's still doing it?
Yeah.
The mess we make out of our lives, and he restores. Joel 2:25 says, and I will restore to you the years.
Yeah.
Huh. He's restoring to some of us the years that we wasted. He's restoring them. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You're recipients of the restoration of God.
Yeah.
Huh. When I think of the goodness of Jesus he's done for me. When I begin to think about all the places and all the stupid things that I did, I didn't get caught and I could have got killed. And man, I was more worried about my parents finding out and God seeing it. He said, well, man, I'm more worried about God seeing it, whatever. Drunken stupors getting in your car and driving and you're still here today and you don't have cirrhosis. You wasted money gambling. And guess what? You still got a home. You've got things in your DNA that should have killed you at 50 years old. And here you are, 85 years old, still in the house of God. We got to straighten up and we got to give God the glory and the praise that he deserves. We can't walk around like this anymore. He's done so much for me. I cannot begin to tell it all. She was healed. She was no longer twisted up and seeing things from a limited view.
Right.
She was loosed. I believe in this place this morning, somebody will be loosed.
Yeah.
Loose from the infirmity of sin, loose from the bitterness of life, from the bondage of hatred, loose from the grip that revenge and vengeance has on you. Loose from the fatigue and worry, loose from the fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
Loose from the spirit of criticism and disunity. We don't need to live that way. We don't need to walk out of this powerful service with the spirit of bondage. No bondage. We don't need to walk around all bowed together, but we need to walk around united together. The word of the Lord says the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth all those that are bowed down. In fact, the religious people of the day got mad because Jesus healed the lady on the Sabbath. Can you believe that? In fact, I like what Luke, he was a physician. He was a smart guy. So he's just very detailed. He says, and there was what does it say? He says, the ruler of the synagogue had indignation. I mean, that's a big word. It means that the ruler of the church was furious. How dare you heal on the Sabbath? Then he puts his foot in his mouth. There's 6 days a week that we can work. Why don't you come to church on those days and get healed? Well, Tamar, Jesus was pretty quick.
Yeah.
He said, oh, pardon me. Wait a minute. You hypocrite.
Yeah.
You know what a hypocrite is? It's an actor, stage actor. You take one mask on, you go play the part, you come back, you trade it for another mask, you keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what he said. You're a hypocrite. Yeah. You don't even follow your own rules.
Right.
Did you untie your donkey this morning so he can get some water? Yeah. You know why you untied it? Because that donkey makes you money. You're protecting your investment. Mm-hmm. This lady, she's a human. Isn't she worth more than a donkey or a cow? Hypocrite. Watch what the scripture says. Watch what it says. Pretty powerful. He says, all the adversaries were ashamed. That's in the Bible. Guess what? You know the best way to let your haters see what God is doing for you, say nothing. Just worship. Just be faithful. You don't need to flaunt the blessings of God. You don't need to roll up in their house and in whatever the Lord blessed you with. Because sometimes the blessings of God aren't materialistic. A lot of times the blessings of God are the intangible things that He's storing up there. You know, some of you are gonna, you have a little house here. You don't have your own house. You're renting a house. I'm renting a house still. And guess what? But I got a mansion. It's taken so long. More than 18. You know, man, He's got pearly gates. Each gate. One pearl, one single pearl. Yeah. How long does that take to cultivate?
Right.
Streets of gold. My goodness. Guess what? He prepares a place for us that where He goes, we may go also. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. But I have overcome them. And if they hate you, they're going to hate me. Guess what? He had 12 and one of them still didn't even get it.
That's right.
You know what religious people are? Religious.
Yep.
We're a people of the name. We're relationship people. We're children. We're the heirs of salvation. There's no stepkids. There's no grandkids here. We're all children of the Lord. He treats us like His very own. The scripture says that you're the apple of His eye. There will always be someone spectating, being critical, no matter what. Some of you are that way on your job. Well, let's talk about the church. Some folks just have a critical spirit. Others are so unhappy with their life, they have to find someone else to pick on. Think about this. There's 7 billion people in the world. And you're going to let 2 or 3 people worry your whole week, your whole, oh, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to pray today. Really? Then don't cash your check on Friday. Because I'm sure something throughout the week on your job frustrated you, messed you up. A vendor was late. The boss didn't come to work. They forgot. They didn't send the email. They didn't get it. And you sit there and say, I'm not cashing this check. No, man, you take that check. You go to their bank to make sure you get the money. You're there at 4 o'clock standing in line. You don't get all bent out of shape about it. You just go. Guess what? This morning, the presence of the Lord is here. We got to respond. We got to allow the Holy Spirit move in the midst this morning. Come on, would you give the Lord a praise? Would you give the Lord a praise? Would you give the Lord a praise? You got to respond. Don't let the hypocrites or the adversaries weigh you down. Don't get caught up with what they'll say. What does it look like if you stand? What's everyone going to think? The devil is a lie. The devil is a liar. Always has been. Always will be. If the musicians would come. Notice what the Lord will do. He'll put the adversaries and the enemies in their place and they'll be ashamed.
Right.
They said it. Jesus didn't say it. They said it. Oh, why would you do that? Why would you answer a prayer on Mondays? Not even church. Because the Word of God says, ask anything in my name.
Yes.
Why would you heal them? They haven't been coming to church. They just got here. I've been here for 40 years. I don't know. Maybe because they're not acting like a hypocrite.
Right.
Maybe because they're going to give God glory. You've been here 40 years, haven't given God anything but complaints. If the lady had listened to the naysayers or the protocol, notice this, if she just listened to the protocol that day, she wouldn't have been loosed of her infirmity. Matthew 15 and 8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. I want her to put it up there so you can see it. Matthew 15 and 8. We're good at talking. They honor me with their lips. Matthew 15 and 8. But their heart is far from me. Come on, somebody. I rebuke that spirit and mindset in Jesus' name.
Yes.
For God hath not given us a spirit of fear,
no,
but of power and love and a sound mind. I feel faith in here right now. Just lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Ha. Jesus. Who's going to respond? I'm done preaching. We're going to go right in the altar call. Faith is in here. I respond. I respond. He turned I respond. I respond because I'm hungry. I want to be loosed. I want to be set free. Loose. I loose it in Jesus' name. I bind together in Jesus' name. Loose it. Loose it. Loose it. He turned da 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 da.